You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Hebrews and chapter 13. In our exercise of the book of Hebrews, and as we're coming to the end of in chapter 13, as we're coming to the end of it, we are reminded that God, dying on the cross and making possible this awesome relationship we're to have to Him. And then this relationship is validated and made wonderfully real and possible because Christ has risen and is seated. He represents us. He brings us to God and God to us. It's an awesome thing. And all of the provision and the benefits that He makes possible are not brought forth. And we are to be reminded by the 12 chapters of Hebrews. And chapter 13 says, if you have got a hold of this relationship, and God has a hold of you, then remember these things. And then we've been going through them. And chapter 13, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And we went through. And we went through them a little bit. I'll read verse 5, verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What shall man do? What shall man do unto me? So, having said that and being encouraged, then we are reminded in verse 7, them which have the rule over you. So God is reminding us of some basic things as we step onto the battlefield. We step onto the battlefield and just remember to do these things. There's an ever big list, but here's some reminders. And one of which, in verse 7, remembering them, it's a command. Be mindful, to think, to remember, to be thoughtful of them, which have the rule over you. Now, having said that, and exercising that wonderful truth, if we may, an exercise. So it's to help us. Because we, if you were living back in the days after the Genesis flood, you have Nimrod, who was a mighty hunter, who was a ruler. Nimrod, Babylon, etc. And you go down the corridor of time, and the kings are there, and all kinds of people leading and directing. And you have Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar is humbled, though, and comes to know the Lord. But he was a ruler. He dominated. Babylon was an awesome power. And then Herod comes along, and Herod abuses his position, and he has a terrible, terrible end, Herod does. So we're used to people. People need leadership. That's what they need. They need leadership. And you know, our Lord would say, and say if he can, if reminding yourself, the Lord says in Matthew 9, it's a terrible thing. You can go over there just to see it. Matthew chapter 9. And reminding yourself in verse 36. But when he saw the multitude, I'll read verse 35 even for a little bit of background. And Jesus, context. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Hang on to that thought. Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid that terrible attitude and position on him, on the Lord, to die on the cross to save the sheep. Verse 36. Or verse 37. Then said he unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he send forth laborers to his harvest. God was looking out to the world system, to the people of the world, and they're all doing their thing. They have their rulers, their kings, their governments, their politics, their philosophies, their religions. They're all doing their thing. They're sheep with no shepherd. They need to have leadership. Leadership is essential now. But us humans, we want to be little kids growing, children growing up. They want to have their right. They want to exercise their independence. But the system always, in some form or fashion, is ruling over them. And we're under the system. So therefore, we're being governed and guided in all kinds of different ways. So what I would like to try to have us exercise in the light of the 66 books of the Bible. In reading, I want you to get a flavor. God, how are we to respond in the light of the world in which we live, in the light of our old nature that's caught up in this? How are we going to proceed in the light of where the sheep are being led to the slaughterhouse? How are we going to overcome? Where is the leadership? What is the leadership to be like? So, to take a big picture, and I'll read in verse 7, Hebrews 13, 7, keeping that in mind. And Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them which have rule over you, and who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. So, taking that apart, remembering is a command to be mindful of them. Of them. Here they are in history, living before the temple is torn down in the time of Hebrews, before 70 AD, and they're looking, and they remember. They would remember James and Peter and Paul, perhaps all of them. They would remember them. They remember them. Now, so with that in mind, they have that in their mind. Remember them which have rule over you, and the word rule is a present tense. Let them who are ruling, present tense, to lead the way, to go first. They're always going first. They're always leading the way. They're not looking this way. They're not looking this way, and you look at the kings, you look at Herod, you look, and they give you instructions. Not that way. That's how we're used to do it. That's how we think. That's how it is usually our experience. And we look at the judge in the court, and the judge is, what do we do? Now, so God, we need to be looking as we follow. We turn to going back, backwards. Now, just to see that in its, a little in its fullness, so you won't even miss it. over if we can exercise, over in the chapter, and picking up, please, having the rule. So we'll just do a little different ways, going in different, same words, doing them, tying them back and forth so that you can't miss it. Over to the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, well, before we do Acts, Acts is right there. Go to the one before John. Go to the Gospel of John. And remember how that closes. We just finished the Gospel of John. So remember how that closes. And Peter is admonished. He's the spokesman on the day of Pentecost. Here's John chapter 20. And in John chapter 20, verse 15, you will note, John chapter 20, if I can, and picking up, if I may, in the process. I said John 20, but you need to go another chapter. John chapter 21. John chapter 21. And you remember in verse 15, God is speaking to Peter, and without doing all that which we just did, the end. Verse 15, the end of the verse, he saith unto Peter, feed my lambs. Verse 16, he saith unto Peter, feed my sheep. Verse 17, he saith unto Peter, unto him, feed my sheep. Feed them. Hang on to that word. Feed them. Now, over to Acts. In Acts chapter 6. Sheep need to be fed. They need to be led. They need to be fed. They have to do. And so therefore, in Acts chapter 6, remember they had officers, they elected deacons, etc., because of the people needed, or they needed management. That they had, the people were saying, this side says this, this side says this. Someone up front, please tell me which to do. Because we're going back and forth, this side, that side. So someone taught leadership. Okay, now, so here they are. They elect the deacons. And the deacons have their assignment. Now, sliding over, if I can, chapter 6, verse 4. But we will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And administer the prayer and the ministry of the word. What were the apostles doing? Now, they weren't going house to house. They weren't going up and down the land. They weren't going over to Egypt to be a witness. They weren't missionaries in that sense. What were they doing? They had one assignment, to feed the sheep. They had one assignment. How are we going to feed the sheep? We're going to have the food. Where are we going to get the food? Remember Matthew 4 and verse 4, Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3 and 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Where am I going to get the food? From God. What are we going to do? Here were the apostles. They're going to have to go to God and look to God to have their, to get the food, to get the food, to grow and to know. That's what's going to have to happen. That's what they did. All the other things are out there. That's true. But if you don't feed the sheep, if they don't know what to do. This side, is this side right? Is that side right? God, we've got to know what to do. Feed the sheep so they grow, and they're knowing, and they're knowing. And they aren't an end. That's what the word, that's what they need. I think of my little life, all the years a little bit, and doing that, and looking at people, and trying to help people, and we try to do a little bit, and that's all it is, a little bit, when we're done. No. The only thing that counted and works is when God's people have an understanding of God and exercise that understanding in believing, and they personally have life in here. And without that, think of our Lord Jesus for 3 1/3 years with his disciples. He was the Word, and he was full of the words. Did do him any good? No, it took his resurrection and Pentecost before they could be full of the Word of God, full of God's grace. That's what they needed. And without that, all that we do doesn't go anywhere. I remember leaning over the bed of somebody and giving the verse, a wonderful, wonderful truth. But they weren't in the place to get that verse. They couldn't connect it. This is what you need. Just a simple thing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or like we just did the other day in Psalm 41, when that God, you go in all of our sickness. In all of our sickness, you are there to do what? You're going to be, are you going to heal us? No, I'm going to let you be sick. But, last sentence, but I'm going to make your bed while you're sick. I'm going to take care of you in your sickness. I'm not taking away your sickness. I'm going to make your bed. I'm going to be the nurse. I'm going to be the caretaker while you're there. You'd have to understand a relationship to God to possess that. I could say it. But if you don't have that, it won't go anywhere. And so therefore, especially when I can't do anything else except mumble to you in the process, you need God and Christ. I can't help you. I can play Monopoly with you, and you can tell me your problems. I can't solve your problems. You have a problem with the problem that you have. And the problem you have needs God to resolve that rightly. Otherwise, we're just talking, I'll try that approach. All of that's good, but it isn't really the answer. You need God. You need his grace. What was happening in the when the church started? The apostles, the teachers, the ones who had the mostest were put aside to do one thing, to know the Word of God, to know the God of the Word. That's what it's about. Do you understand? That's what I do. Can I tell you? In a little bit. And I shared with you years ago when I was in engineering and all of that. That's what bugged me to the core of my toes. God, why doesn't someone tell us this stuff? Anyway, now. So, having said that, keeping that in mind, hang on to that. Now, that's what they did. That's what they did. We need leadership. The shepherds, sheep need a shepherd. Correct. Our Lord Jesus Christ, John 10, is the shepherd of the sheep. We need an understanding of the Lord who is our shepherd. We need, how, where are we going to get that? Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And if I can, Paul's in Ephesus. It's his last time in Ephesus. He's never going to be there again. He's on his way. He'll never be able to return. And he gives them. He gives them his instructions. He knows that. And so here's the leadership in verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood, to feed them. Feed them. I'm going to go. I've been feeding you. I've been the source, the apostle. I've been the source of awesome truth, wonderful truth. I'm not going to be here anymore. Our Lord said that earlier to the disciples before he was crucified. I'm not going to be with you that way. I'm going to be with you in a different way. Here's the Apostle Paul. I'm going to go. I'm not going to be able to tell you anymore. But, verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. God hates light. Darkness hates light. I mean, God allows darkness to be rebelling against light. And light, the God is light. And light dominates. Therefore, since the darkness hates light, it's never going to quit. Remember, we shared in prayer meeting, think of all that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of deep darkness, death and darkness, I will fear no evil. Death, darkness, evil. I'm never out of it. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, as long as I'm on earth, I'm in the middle of this valley. It never goes away. Therefore, so the devil's going to come in, and without Paul, when our Lord was alive with the 11, with the rest of them, did anyone ever fear about the devil getting his hand in anything? No. Why? The devil isn't going to touch God in Christ. The Lord got all the flack. Who did they want to kill? They didn't want to kill Luke or Peter. They wanted to kill the Lord. Paul, who were they after? You. You're the leader. You don't go for the down there. I told you that the other day. If the Indians are attacking and they're all there and they're all coming in with the warriors, they're going to scalp us. So, here you got your gun, one shot gun. And you got your gun. So you got one shot to kill one Indian. I'm going to kill the chief if I can. Hit the chief. I got a good shot, they'll quit coming. There's no leadership. So here's Paul. Paul's going to disappear, and grievous wolves are going to come. Verse 30. Also, your own selves, men shall arise of your own selves. Because where's the direction? Speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn you, warn everyone night and day with tears. I warn you all the time, beware. You got to be on the toes. You got to grow. You got to know. I'm going to go. I'm not coming back. How am I going to help everybody in the light of that problem, in the light of our humanness? Verse 32. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I'm able to go. I'm going to give you God's word, which you've got. You need to be looking to God. You need to be looking to God. What are leaders doing? What are rulers doing? What are they supposed to be doing? Looking to God. Looking to God. You'll never see the front. You'll just see my back. I'm looking to God. I'm not interested. We got all kinds of needs, all kinds of problems. God has to resolve them. God has to be our helper. That's what you just read, Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. If God is your helper, who do you need to be afraid of? Looking to God. Now, so therefore, that's what they were doing. Over to Romans and chapter 10. In Romans in chapter 10, picking up, please. Oh, you'll catch it in chapter 10. Oh, picking it up in verse 8. Remember now, quoting from Deuteronomy 30, verse 8. What saith it? The word is nigh unto thee, near, even in thy mouth, in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. In other words, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And I heard you, and I read it. What am I doing? I need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll be saved. Let that word find its home in your heart. I heard it. I am reading it. What I want to do, let it find its home in your heart. That's what you need. Feed the sheep. But the sheep don't want to eat. You see, they don't want to. You know all that. Anyway, now, having said that, in verse 8, look down at verse 14. How then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of great joy. Hang on to that in the morning if we get that far. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Oh, believed, they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Now, what's the whole, put that together. Verse 17, so then faith, the word the, making it particular, not personal faith. What do you read? That which we are to believe, the body of truth that we're to believe, the Bible. The Bible. Verse 17. So then, the faith, the Bible, God's word cometh. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what you said. You hear it? I hear it. I got it. We aren't telling you some way out thing, because we're asking you, we're saying it. And read it. Read it. And believe it. And lock it in. Let it become yours. That's the only thing that's going to help you. You're going to lock it in. Because God is an ever-present help. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if I may, over, if I can, sliding over, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And you know, and you will note, remember now, in verse 9, But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared, made ready for them that love him. Now, remember, it's an easy way to remember that. Just think of a ship pulling up next to the dock. The ship's next to the dock. It's going to go on a trip across the sea, a journey of life, and it's going to go. So your ship comes up against the dock, and God puts on board everything you're going to need. Did you ever think of that? Then you're out in the ship or something, and you only have so many eggs. You have only so many things you put aboard, and the longer you're out there, you eat the eggs, and you eat the bread, whatever. The chef, the cook, can only cook so much for so long, and then you run out of it. So you've got to go and restock. God sends us on a journey. We get saved. We are to represent him as light in the darkness, and we're to go. And God puts on board everything you need. How is it, God, how do you put on board our little lives? When you receive Christ as your Savior, sliding down, go if I can, and, I might as well do it. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? We know each other because we're human, and we all have the same nature. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. God knows God, everything about God. Man knows us, we know all about our humanness. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We're not going to know them in ourselves. We aren't going to know them talking, debating, and writing 10 books. You aren't going to know them. Where are we going to know them? Where's the leadership? God? Where? Verse 13. Freely given to us of God, the end of verse 12. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Knowing the natural man, verse 14, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We need to know the Lord as our Savior, and the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to who he has. Who knows God? The Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit knows the Father and the Son. And God the Holy Spirit's assignment is to help you know about God the Father and God the Son. That's his assignment. Who knows about God except God? And who's going to be the teacher? God. Spirit of God. But what are we going to do? No, it's the Spirit of God. How were the disciples? You know from our study in John, remember John 14 and that, and the disciples are all going to be what? They're hearing all of this awesome truths, recipes, how to have a wonderful, successful journey through time. No way to remember it. No way on earth. They didn't write it down. They didn't have a secretary. They didn't have videotape or anything else. All they had was a hearing ear, and it went right over their head. But God encouraged them, our Lord did. You will not remember any of this, but the Spirit of God will bring all of this. John 14, 26 and that. The Spirit of God will bring all of this to your mind exactly as I said it. That's how you got the New Testament. And God, are you able to do this? Yes. How do you think you got Genesis? How do you think you got that? Well, they had a big committee and they went and sat down and, you know, had a big thing and figured out how do you think the world came into being? was it a big black hole out there that blew up or shrunk or something? Or well, no. Moses wrote, and that's what he wrote. He had no idea. No idea. He just wrote what God told him. That's how you got the first five books of the Bible. God wrote it. God said, our Lord said, locking it in, John 5:39. If you want to know life, you read the word. These are written. And when you read the word, John 5:39, these are written all about me, said the Lord. You want to know about who I am? Read the Bible. Then my words, I'm the leader, said the Spirit of God. I am your teacher. I bring in Christ the Bible to you. God has finished the Bible, and we can have it in our hands. If we keep it closed, nothing. If we open it up, and we're going to let God help us, believing, not understanding it all, but believing it's God said what he said. It's the only, we said it 1,000 times, it's the only book in all the world that says, thus saith the Lord. So you don't either read the Bible or don't. Take your pick. All right, I'm going to read it. And what are you going to do? The Spirit of God's going to go and help us. Help us. And he knows it. He knows it. I'm going to pick it up. But hang on to that part. It's the Spirit of God to help us. What's he going to help us with? The Encyclopedia Britannica? Well, he can help you read it if you want. But that is what he's doing. He's going to help us understand God. What did the apostles do after they elected the deacons? They gave themselves to the Word of God in prayer. They had to understand. How could they possibly do the job? How could you possibly do this job without God? Would you tell me? All I can do is give you a lot of stuff, messages, Bible, we all know it. We're Protestants, we're Catholics, we're something. No, we need God. God's the answer. God's the solution in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, are you getting a little bit? So we got a long way to go, but I want you to lock it in, because I think the reason the average believer in the average whatever is never exposed or related or even understands what they are to do and how they are to make it. God is not holding, God holds the leadership accountable, but every individual in the middle of the Sahara Desert with no Bible, they're saved. The middle of Sahara Desert, they're saved and no Bible, nobody. They and the bugs, and they die. That man, that woman, is responsible to honor God. How did Abraham get saved? Who told Abraham to get saved? No one. Abraham lived in a pagan society up to their eyeballs. And how did Abraham get saved? He looked up to the sky and said, God, this just didn't happen. God. And what do you know from Romans 1 and 18, 19, 20? We've done 1,000, 10,000 times. God speaks to the heart of every human being when they're born. And that little boy or girl, God is letting himself known. And it isn't up to you. It isn't up to the mother. It isn't up to the father. God is letting the little baby know as it comes that God is their creator. And the baby can either knows, am I going to go up, make believe I live in Australia? My mother and father worship kangaroos. Worship kangaroos. They honor kangaroos. So here they are. And they have the kangaroo and they put food out for the kangaroo. And And I look out there and there's, and I look at my plate and the kangaroo got better food than I do. And, you know, I look. I say, hey, what's going on? And they say, well, that's our God. And I look out the window again. You don't look like God. You just look like a kangaroo. See, because I know a kangaroo isn't God. I know a Buddha isn't God. I have to be a genius. I have to be a genius. I know. It's not God. See, that's my religion. That's not God. Pantheism, wherever you want to go. I know that isn't God. Because my little heart says so. God says so in me. Now, but I want to fit in, so I yield to the system. And pretty soon, I'm feeding kangaroo, whatever they are. Yeah, you got the idea. God, you got to help us. So, in the process of that, I got that which has been spoken unto them by the word, by God's word. Now, what are we going to do in the process, in this journey? We're going to go and look to God, and we're going to go and trust God to get us down the corridor of time. Now, having said that, over I can to Numbers. Numbers chapter 32. All kinds of different ways, going to say the same thing when you're done. Anyway, that's what I started to say. I didn't mean to lose it. That's why I think people don't grow. That's why the church has gone down the tubes. That's why the church is in a state of apostasy. Because the average person going to church, that goes to church, really doesn't understand what they need to. And the system is the system. We hire somebody, we hire them, and we hire them, and we tag them and give them a little badge, and they got a badge and up there. And we have it, and they do that for a while, and as long as they stay with what we're comfortable hearing or whatever we want, and they keep them, then they go and change, and we hire somebody else to do, and we're in charge. We hire and fire, you see. But you don't hire. You don't hire God's gifted people. You don't hire anybody. I don't belong to anybody except God. That's all I belong to. He's my boss. My boss. And I have to honor him. And you understand that. So the system, what I'm trying to say is, the system doesn't help us to grow. We're stuck in a rut where we just sort of follow the rule and whatever. And if we don't like it, we change and go over here, and then we change and go over here, or go nowhere. That's what we do. We aren't caught up in a journey, a wonderful journey in the moving through time. Here's Caleb and Joshua. Here's 600,000 plus men. And here's two of them now, not counting Moses and Aaron, etc. But here's 600,000 plus men. And here they are in the desert, 38 years, 40 years, 38 years in the wilderness. Here they are. Now God, in the light of those 600, what do we know? Chapter 32, verse 11. Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob. Why not? Because they have not wholly followed me, wholeheartedly followed me. Verse 12, save, except two of them, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun. For reason, they have wholly followed me. I saved them. Well, who did they lead? Caleb, who did you lead? No one. I was looking to God. Joshua, looking to God. Moses, looking to God. Aaron, you need to look to God. Here they are. Here they are, looking to God. That's how you get there. And remember the rulers over you. Remember them. They have a responsibility to be walking and leading. They need to be responsible to be going in the right direction. And they need to be moving in that direction. That's their responsibility. So when you look at them, all you see is their back as they're growing and knowing. That's what we're supposed to have. That's what we're supposed to be. It's a job. You got to work at it. You got to work at it. But it's a wonderful thing. Once God gets a hold of us, well, that's what we got to do. That's how it is. Now, followed by saying that, hold the Matthew, chapter 4. Matthew in chapter 4. And in Matthew, remember, now where did the Lord, how did the Lord choose his disciples to become apostles? How did he do it? He looked at them and said there, well, here's Peter. Did you go to Harvard? No, he didn't go to Harvard. What did you do, Peter? Well, how profitable is your fishing business? Are you a really successful fisherman? Do you have a big business or a little business? He didn't ask that of anybody. What did you ever ask? You know it. Chapter 4, picking up if I may. Verse 19. Now I'll read verse 18. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway, immediately, dropped the net with a fish in it. They didn't bother doing anything. And didn't say hello, goodbye. God said, come, and they went. In verse 19, and he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their net and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other of the two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, bending their nets. And he called them, not the father, he called them and said, they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. God, where'd you find these people? And you never said it again. You never repeated, follow me. He didn't go back and say, well, I told you the other day to follow me. Have you been praying and thinking about it? He never did that. You either did or you didn't. He knew the heart. He knew the heart of the man. That's why Abraham, back in the old Genesis, God said, he tells us the reason I picked Abraham, I knew he would honor me, even of the giving of his son Isaac on Mount Sinai. I knew it. I knew he would never back off. I knew his heart. Follow me. I knew the heart. He was going to stay fixed. Well, follow me. Are you getting a little idea? I'll drive you bats and bananas with this. But my point, you're responsible to grow and know. And the system isn't going to help you. And the system doesn't care about you ever growing. What we're talking about, you find it's hard to find anywhere where there's a whole bunch of people that are so concerned about your becoming a full-fledged believer, enjoying God's awesome person and benefits. It's very hard to find a group of people, to find a person almost sometime that wants that for your life. That's what God wants. And we're used to following everything and anyone except in the wrong. We never get there. I've been to church 25 years. Yay, good. Where are you? I'm in the same place I was. You see, I got to We didn't get very far. I'm just trying to be a pest to you. I want you to see, because that's the problem. You have to grow, and you have to want to go. And if you don't, it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen, not in this life. We can be faithful, and you read the Bible and read daily bread every day, but you never caught on to what God was looking for, to be a what? Follower. But there's no one to lead. The Spirit of God said, look on our Lord Jesus, looking at chapter 12, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who running the race that is set before us. He's the author and finisher, God. What are we supposed to be doing? Looking, abiding in your wonderful person as the branch to the tree, abiding and letting all of the awesome being, all your awesome being, to be enjoyed as it flows through the branch. Anyway, I got to quit. Appreciate your patience. Hope you got a little bit. Thank you.